Okay, good morning. We're continuing in Rav Pinkus's Shmuzim on the 3 weeks. We're on page Lamites. Yesterday we began the Shmuz discussing the great love between Hashem and the Jewish people that is expressed during the 3 weeks. And we spoke about Bilam and his attempts of making korbanos and trying to hurt the Jewish people. We discussed the whole point of korbanos, which shows that one is preparing to return the world back to Hashem. And God's connection with us, no matter how distant, you know, and how great he may appear, he still has a tremendous closeness to us. And this is where Judaism differs from other religions. So we're on page Lamites in the middle of the page. Ava amuka mikol omek, a deep love, deeper than anything. So now here's the whole point. We're going to learn what Bilam's thought was and what his mistake was. Bilam yada shekadosh baruch hu ohev es am Yisrael. Bilam knew that Hashem loved the Jewish people. Achu chashav, but he also thought shemikol makom yeshno makom bo ava zu mistayemes. He thought there's a place where that love ends. Amok amok yeshna nekuda bo hakadosh baruch hu omer. In really, really deep down, there is a point where God says, "Nachon ani ohev es am Yisrael." It's true, I love the Jewish people. Ach b'chol zos, but in spite of this, ani borei olam, I'm the creator of the world. V'atem abruim, and you're the created ones. V'hamerchak beinenu hu ein sof, and the distance between us is infinite. Are there any more sheets over here on the table? Or yeah, okay. Yeah, we're on page Lamites. We're in the last paragraph of Lamites. In other words, we're very far. I love you, but you know what? There comes a point where I don't have any love for you. You know, like the aquarium we spoke about yesterday. You may love your fish, but to a point. You know, after a while, the fish gets really sick and you try to help him, but he's going to die. Okay, let him die. We'll flush him down the toilet. And that's the end, you know. There is a point that when the love ends for a fish. So, because, you know, God is great and he loves us, but he's the master of the aquarium. And if we die, we die. It's the end. It's not the end of the world. We'll get a new bunch of fish. That's what Bilam thought. But that's only deep, deep down. You know, everyone loves a fish if it's not a problem. You feed them, they look pretty, they swim around. That's nice, I like my aquarium. I take pride in my aquarium. Fish are obedient. They're not a big hassle. Okay, I love them. Oh, now they're making trouble. You know, the price of fish food has gone up to $1 million an ounce. You know, there comes a point that I don't love them that much anymore. So that's what Bilam thought, that there is this love for us, but it does reach a point. And after that point, there's no more love. And Bilam was looking to reach that deepest point. So how do you get to that deepest point of what God's ultimate will is? So he figured, which is true to a certain extent, that comes to the korbanos that he was bringing. Who yakriv od korban, v'od korban. He'd keep bringing korban after korban after korban. Od korban keneged kol karbanos shekrivu avos. For od korban keneged kol karbanos shekrivu avos, he'd bring another korban, equaling all the karbanos that the forefathers brought, and more karbanos, more than what they brought. And what's the point of it? Because remember, it's returning everything back to God. The point of karbanos is returning everything back to God. So he's going for the ultimate returning back everything to God. Meaning, let's go as deep as we can in terms of God. And let's go to the depths of where God really is at. Who Yisrov is kol ha'olam. I can burn up the whole world. Hakol yabotlu mavutl. Everything is nullified and surrendered before God. In other words, bringing so many karbanos as if, you know, there's nothing left to this world. It's symbolically saying Just like the Korban on a simple level says, I'm returning myself back to God. I'm returning the world back to God. It's just multiple Korbanos after Korban after Korban after Korban, surrendering everything to God. And let's return everything back till the point there's nothing left of this world. Let's return everything to the point that there's nothing left but Hashem. There's not even the Jewish people, there's nothing. And I get to the deepest point. Then we'll get to the point where that connection to God with the Jews, even that point, will have reached its finish and it will no longer be. That was the point of all those korbanos. Because, you know, just like we said, you know, well, if you really want to show you want to surrender, go kill your children. Hashem didn't want it to go that far. But Bilam wants it to go that far. Keep bringing so many korbanos to show that we're surrendering everything back to the world to the point where symbolically there's nothing left. And when there's nothing left, then you know what? There's no more love between Hashem and the Jewish people. Han ben Akudazos, who Yaskir's Chetegla. At that point, the Chazal tells us, he brought the Ayin Hara to mention the sin of the golden calf. But Yarmel HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells God, Harei lo ichbat lecha me'am Yisrael. Why should you bother? You really don't care about the Jewish people. Vehem harei chatul chabegla. You see, they sinned with the golden calf. Imkain, if so, next page, Techale osam. Destroy them. You really have no need for them. Because in your deepest, deepest reality, Hashem, what need you have for the Jewish people? Right? That was his whole point. He's trying to get to God's deepest, innermost point. And at the deepest, most innermost point, what does God really need with the world? He was here before the world was created. He will be here after the world is created. At the end of the day, at the beginning and at the end of the day, it's only Him. We're only a mirage. We're only a figment of our own imaginations. So, and logically, what he's saying is logical to a certain degree. From a koifer's degree, it's logical that, you know, okay, so, you know, so God entertains Himself with us a little bit. And it's interesting to have us around. But deep, deep down, when we return everything back to you, Hashem, when we bring all these multiple korbanos, when we return every single thing back to you, what need do you really have for these Jewish people? Especially considering how terrible they are. So he figured at that point, he brings out the depths of the fact that we're just a bunch of fish in the aquarium. So that was his point. V'akadosh Baruch Hu anok kivyachol Bilam, and as it were, God responds to Bilam, and he says, Shaita, you fool. You try to bring forth my children's sin to show that I shouldn't care about them. It's no different than a person presenting to a father the bad actions of his son. No, is that going to be enough to cause that love, the natural love that a father has for a son, is going to cause that to cease? A father's love isn't going to cease for a child just by telling him he's terrible. Same thing. The love that Hashem has for the Jewish people is deeper than any depths. So dafka sham, specifically there, b'nekuda hamuka b'yoser, in the deepest, deepest point, especially there, sham nimtzesava, that's where you'll find the love. And misham hinovas, and it's from there is where that love begins to pour forth. And that's as I make avos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, but Parshas Bilam Deu. That's what Parshas Bilam is coming to teach us. How deep the love Hashem has for us goes. And that's really what it means when the Torah says Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz. The first Rashi says Bishvil Reishis, because of the first nation of the Jewish people, God created the world. So obviously, before He created the world, there was this love for the Jewish people. Before the pre-creation stage was what? I want to have a world because I want to bestow my kindness upon humanity, which will be the Jewish people. And in the very depths of reality, before even creation began, Hashem is saying something that human beings can't fathom. What does God need a people to love? But that's the chok we can't understand. And this goes beyond the logic. And Bilam was a very logical, smart fellow. But there's a point where logic ends and God continues. And although logically it doesn't make sense to why he loves us, and when we get really deep down, and he was right in terms of logic, but God's love goes beyond any logic. And that's what the whole parsha of Bilam comes to teach us, how deep that love is, that even when Bilam pushes God to the point of the depths of God's ultimate will, where he pushes us to the point of, okay, come on, this is an aquarium after all is said and done, right? God says, yeah, but in spite of the fact, that's the point where I begin to love them. And that's where all the love you see to them now comes from. Right? So this really answers a good question. Because if you look at Parshas Bilam, there's really two answers to this question. The whole Parsha of Bilam, Balak, you know, what's so interesting about it is that the Jewish people were totally unaware of it while the events were happening. You know, Balak contracts Bilam. Yeah, he didn't make a public announcement to the Jewish people, I'm hiring a gunslinger to nail you guys down. It was a private thing. And Bilam goes to the top of a mountain and tries to curse the Jews. The Jews were most likely totally unaware of all this. So why does God have to write a parsha in the Torah that we never knew about? You know, if you look at all the parshas, you know, everyone, okay, you know, especially, you know, we need to know why they're written. It's part of our history, part of what happened to the Jews, etc., etc. But this was okay. So you have an anti-Semite who hates the Jews. So big deal. We know that. It's no new storyline here. So the answer that I always said until I saw this piece was that, you know, Martin, for some reason it's not working.
It's working. I gotta just put it on.
I did. You know, something was going on before. Somebody played around with it. Anyway, so the answer, the first answer I always gave was that, you know what? The whole lesson is to know how much Hashem takes care of us, even when we're unaware of Him taking care of us. Like the Hisha Amda prayer. Every generation, they come to destroy us. And so much we don't know what the enemies want to do against us. There's so many times where the non-Jews want to destroy us, and we're totally unaware of those plans. And to realize, if God raises us, you should know, I do so much more for you than you ever will know. You just think when the pogrom is known to you, and then you daven to me and I take it away. How about all the pogroms you never knew were on the fire, and that were planned? And that somehow never went to fruition. You never knew of the problem. You never knew it got taken care of. Right? That's what it says in the Hallel. Halu es kol goyim shabchu kol amim kegavar elein achasto. That all the non-Jews are going to praise Hashem when Mashiach comes. You know, what do you mean all the non-Jews are going to praise Hashem? So they say, you know why? Because the non-Jews know more than the Jews how much they try to destroy the Jews. Like, you know, you think you know everything that's going on in Eretz Yisrael. You know, all those foiled bomb attempts and this and that. If we knew how many bomb attempts really were going on every day, including today, and how many unbelievable things, you know, it's unbelievable how much Hashem does for us. So Hashem writes one parsha that I just want you to know. I'm giving you one random sample. That, you know, your whole existence was threatened by spiritual nuclear disaster. He could give you one curse, you guys would have been wiped out. And guess what? I keep you around because I love you. Right? So this one just takes it, that same idea, just takes it a little deeper, what Rapinkus is saying. And he's saying that, you know, this parsha is written to show you how deep that love for Hashem goes. So it's the same, just a different aspect of it. Hashem's love is so deep that he helps us even when we don't know we're in trouble. And that's how much he loves us. But now from the philosophical point, even when Bilam pushed him to the edge, come on, Hashem, deep, deep, deep down, when we sacrifice everything, and there really is no reality but you, you really don't love them, do you? And I'm going to curse them. Hashem says, no, that's where the whole love especially comes from. So that's a great value in understanding what, you know, why God bothered to write the Parsha of Balak. so that we would really see how much Hashem really loves us, how deep that love comes for us. Okay, so now there's no coincidence that this parsha begins before the 3 weeks. You see, and this is what he's going to continue with over here. So now, we're on page Mem, the third paragraph. Parsha Nosefes Bo Motzanu Es Oimek Avos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. He parshas Mordechai Veser. There's another parsha in Tanakh that tells us about the depths of God's love that He has for the Jewish people, and that's the story of Mordechai and Esther in the Purim story. Why? It's true that the giving of the Torah at Sinai was also an expression of God's love for us, as we mentioned from Shlomo Melech, that he describes the events of Sinai as Yashkeni Minashikas Piu, give me a kiss from the kisses of your lips as you gave once before. And that's a description of the giving of the Torah at Sinai. Ach Chazal Eimrim, but our rabbis tell us something more in the Gemara and Shabbos. Sha'am Yisrael b'chol zos kibos ator bar Sinai rak mitoch kviya. That when the Jews received the Torah at Sinai, it was from coercion. It was from coercion. They were coerced to a certain extent. You can explain the coercion under many understandings. I mean, there's the famous Chazal that says Hashem put the mountain over their heads. But you could even say, you know, not that far. You know, after all that God did for them, for taking them out of Sinai and doing all the miracles, you know, what choice is there but not to say yes? I mean, listen, you're our Savior, so of course we're going to say yes. What other options were there? We were lost in Egypt. We're never going to come out. And you took us out. You did all these miracles. You did a million and one things for us. So now you say, okay, do you want to have a relationship? So what's the option? You know, the knight in shining armor saves you. So you have an option. So what are we going to do if we don't have you? We're going to go back to Egypt? Go into the desert? I mean, we need you. We have to have you. It was so obvious they had to have him. So they were compelled. It doesn't have to be such a negative connotation of the compulsion. It's why not? What other option is there? Right. But still, Gemara says it was still compelled and coerced. Rak b'maisa Mordechai v'Esther, but in the story of Purim, Am Yisrael or Im Yisrael noichach lirois bechushas avos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jews could sense even deeper, and they felt the love that Hashem had for them. V'azhem hishtachnu v'kibus haTorah mi'avo. Then they subjugated themselves and they received the Torah out of love. So what extra amount of love did they see that Hashem had for them? Alapasik, we come to the pasuk that says, "Balayla hahu nadadoshna samelach." On that night, the king couldn't sleep. And we know whenever the Megillah refers to King Achashverosh just as the king, but not with the word Achashverosh. Arim Chazal, a rabbi say, it refers to the king of all kings. And not in Ashnas Malka Shalom, the sleep, so to speak, of the king of the world wasn't restful. And they saw that God couldn't rest seeing what's going to happen to the Jewish people. So, for example, Rofe Beveis HaCholim, a doctor in a hospital. Even though a doctor, he's filled with compassion and feelings for the sick people. He really believes in the Hippocratic Oath. And he extends himself, you know, totally, you know, with his efforts and his wealth, and he does everything. A doctor who uses his own money to build a hospital for people, he really loves people, right? But the bottom line is, kishuchos lebeso betum yom avarosa, when he comes home after a long, hard day in the hospital, oyef umutash, he's totally exhausted and tired. Humeneichas rosh ala karis v'nirdam. He puts his head on the pillow after an 18-hour day, puts it on the pillow and goes to sleep. After business hours are closed, he has no business with the sick people anymore. I'm tired. I got my own. I have to have my own life too, right? After all, it's not his kid sitting in the hospital who's sick. That's all. You know, he's dedicated. He's devoted. He does everything. But, you know, there is a certain professional detachment that one has to have as a doctor, or they can't function as a doctor. They're good doctors, and when he's in the office, he tries his best. He really cares about them. No, he really cares about the patients. But, you know, when he goes home, and that's it, and he puts on the answering machine, If you have this thing, please go to a merch, etc., etc. I'll be there in the morning. Which is just fine. It's very nice. You can't expect the doctor. There aren't any more of those old-time doctors like Dr. Ludwig, who never had no life. His life was his patients. You don't have very rare. But anyway, that's a doctor. Achagodish Baruch, but by Hashem, the sleep of the king was disturbed. Malka Shalom, the king of the world, Eina Masuklashon, he doesn't go to sleep. Because his son is found in a dangerous position, right? The family of the sick people, they don't go to sleep at night. They never sleep, right? No way. So this awesome love, this care and concern that never ends that Hashem has for the Jews, that is what got the Jews to accept the Torah out of love. Now, we came out of Egypt, maybe we thought that God treated us like his aquarium. Okay, he wants to have a people, he's got to take us out. He saved the fish and made his aquarium. That's very nice, you know. But by Purim, he went beyond, way beyond what he needed to do. Way beyond. You know, in Mitzrayim, okay, he took care of us. It's the middle of the day, that's fine, you know. During business hours, he took care of us. But even after business hours, he takes care of us. Whoa, that's a deeper level of love. A deeper level. Okay, so that's what we see from Bilam. That's what we see from Purim, this unending love that Hashem has for us. So now, next subcategory, Bichiv Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the crying of Hashem. HaKesher Bein Am Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this connection between the Jewish people and Hashem, Mispatei B'chol Marechas HaChagim Shel HaShana, it expresses itself during the order of all the holidays during the year. The whole point of the holidays is for us to feel the love that Hashem has for us. Pesach, we start with Pesach, Mevateyas HaShechas HaBosisis, that is an expression of the fundamental connection that Hashem has with us. As Acheres Malchamovis, that's freedom from the angel of death. Cheres Mietzahara, freedom from the Yetzahara. The fact that we can be free people, that we can have a relationship with God. Right? And that, without a relationship, you can't have anything. The fact that we are free to relate to God is the foundation of that relationship. Fine. Shavuos mivateis matan Torah. Shavuos reflects what God was giving to us, the giving of the Torah, and how he's showing us how much he loves him through the instructions for living and how we can have this kind of relationship. Rosh Hashanah says Yerushalayim. Rosh Hashanah shows us the fear of God we should have to understand where our place is in that relationship. Sukkot is a simcha. Sukkot shows us about the joy that should be involved in that relationship. So it's all involved in showing different parts of this relationship with God, and it's meant to strengthen that relationship. Okay, so now where do the 3 weeks fit into this? So b'shlosha shavuos, these 3 weeks, boy, what's the main avoda, or one of the avodas of service? What are we supposed to be thinking of? How is our relationship between God supposed to be improving during these 3 weeks? Right, it's a sad time, right? So he says, in these 3 weeks, boyim l'day bitu hachpatiyus v'akesher ha'ishi ha'omok shal kodesh baruch hu Yisrael. These 3 weeks, Hashem really expresses his care and concern, the personal, deep concern Hashem has for the Jewish people. If you want to know how much does he care about us, so these 3 weeks are supposed to be the season of the year for us to feel how much he cares about us. Which, initially, you might not think that way, because all we know is only problems. Right? V'kesher zeh bo lidei bitui bidmos. And this connection is expressed through tears. Chazal omrim, our rabbis tell us in the Gemara in Chagiga, Shebetisha Bav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bocho, that on Tisha Bav Hashem cried. And Bechi Mevateyas HaKesher Omek B'Yosir, tears is the greatest expression of the depths of a relationship that one can have. Efshar Lirkot V'Lismoach, it's possible to dance and be happy. Lechol matzah mor, to eat matzah and moror. L'sheves b'sukkah, to sit in a sukkah. Zeh hakol masim chitzon. These are all external activities that we do. Ach habechi, but the tears, hu bitui l'kesher shel ava omuk omuk adei nosof. Tears always is indicative of the very deep, strong connection, the never-ending connection that exists. So, l'chol echad, everybody yesh ichpatios b'midah misyemes. Everybody has a certain degree of concern for things. For example, there are a lot of things we are concerned about in our lives, and we're concerned about things to a certain degree. For example, im b'yom cham miskalkel hamisgan. Let's say it's 100 degrees out today, if it would be, and your air conditioning breaks. You know, Shabbos is, it's boiling, and you see Shabbos morning, you get up, and you can walk in the house, and you go, uh-oh, there's no air conditioning, and it's going to be a scorcher. It bothers us. We care about that, don't we? If the refrigerator breaks, right? You just have a full freezer with $1,000 of meat packed in that freezer. Just ordered a side of a cow and you filled up your freezer. Or when you had that power outage a couple of years ago and there's no power. Whoa. All of a sudden your mind is very much taken up with that freezer. I don't know, Yeshua, but we can't sleep at night. But in terms of the caring, there's deeper levels of concern. Okay, we care about the air conditioning, we care about the freezer, but there must be things we care about more than that. Do we only care about ourselves? Or is the pain even deeper? We're all prepared not to enjoy ourselves for these 3 weeks. Okay, we've accepted the restrictions of the 3 weeks upon ourselves. Lo lechabes ulihisraches tisha yomim, and during the 9 days, we're not going to wash and bathe for pleasure. Lo tzum b'tisha b'av, it's a typo, b'tisha b'av, to fast on the 9th of Av. Zakol masim, these are all actions. Actions are nice. Aval yesh kan marecha shebo levarer, but there's a whole order that we're trying to clarify. And the whole point of these actions that we can't forget about is lahavhir ulahamik esa echpatius, is to clarify and to deepen that care that we have, to show how much does it matter to us. Vizo ikar havodav yom elu. This is the main service of what we're trying to accomplish during these 3 weeks. Kama ichpat lonu mekadosh baruch hu mitzar hashchina. How much do we care for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much concern do we have for the pain that the Divine Presence has? In other words, how important is this relationship that we have with Hashem? The fact that, in other shmuzim, we'll discuss why we've become distant from Hashem. But the point right now is to realize that we are distant from Hashem. And this wasn't by Hashem's choosing. And to realize, you know, we know that God has a good track record of loving us. And if He isn't in a position to show love to us, that's bad. And if God Himself is crying over the fact that He can't be close to us, how do we feel over the fact that He can't be close to us? And this is Bedavka after reading Parshas Bilam. That's why Bedavka, Parshas Bilam, almost always is before the 3 weeks starts. It's that Shabbos before the 3 weeks. Remember, the Shabbos before any Yomtov, any season, that's the energy of that puts into what you're supposed to get out of that time. So in other words, Parshas Balak is, okay, how are we supposed to take in the 3 weeks? So before we come to these 3 weeks, you see how much God loves us. How the relationship is so deep, how He cares, that the depths of creation, when all logic would say He should have no relationship with us, that's where the relationship really begins. So you can really sense how much he loves us, how far He goes out of His way, and how deep that relationship is. And now we're at a point where we can't be close, and the Shekhinah is not with us. And how God Himself cries, as it were, for the fact that the relationship is not in a good position. So that's what we all see in Parshas Balak. So if that's what we all see, so now we know how much God cares about us. So the more important question is, so how much do we care about God? So, okay, we're doing these external activities because the external activities are meant to arouse the internal feelings. And, you know, and the fact that we fasted on the 17th of Tammuz, and the fact that we're not now listening to any music now, and we're not having any weddings, and we're not buying any new clothes that make us happy, that make a Shechiyanu on, and we're not in all the kinds of things that make us happy, right? So we're supposed to stop and think, and you know, okay, those are things to show that we care, but the problem is a lot of times it's just actions, and we don't really get to the thoughts that go behind that. So that's what he's saying. And that's what these 3 weeks are to describe. How much do we care about this relationship? Hachel mi yitzayim v'tamas. It begins on the 17th of Tammuz. Anu nichnasim yosef v'yosel omek. We begin to go deeper and deeper. We have the yitzayim v'tamas. The 17th of Tammuz is the 3 weeks. It's one level of mourning. Then Rosh Chodesh Av. Then we begin Rosh Chodesh Av, which is the 9 days, which is another level. Shavuot Shechol Bo, the week of which Tisha B'Av falls on, is a deeper level. Tisha B'Av Ba'atzmo, and then Tisha B'Av itself. U'kishemegia harega shel sreifas beis elkeinu. Then we come to the point where we remember the exact moment when the Beis HaMikdash was cast aflame on fire. And that is Tisha B'Av afternoon. That's when the Beis HaMikdash really went aflame. Not in the beginning of Tisha B'Av, but towards the end of Tisha B'Av. V'chatzos hayom shel Tisha B'Av, midday of Tisha B'Av. Kesha'am Yisrael magia l'si ha'omek shel tzaro al churban habayis. When the Jewish people come back to that point and they reach the peak of the depth of the pain of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Al hatzor shel'am Yisrael, the peak of the suffering of the Jewish people. Al tzar ha'shchina, the pain of the Divine Presence. Al bechiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we come to the tears of God. So what happens at that point? At that point, what do? We get up, we get off of the floor, and we get onto the chairs. Mm. We put the pareichas back on top of the Aron HaKodesh. What's going on? Because Beshua Zu, because in that moment, Chazal tell us, when we get to the real depths of that relationship, how? As evidenced by the tears. When you can cry, that means the relationship is really important to you. But regazeh nele Mashiach. Chazal tells us at that point the potential Mashiach is born. Yeah. Mashiach, which represents bringing that relationship back to the way it's always supposed to be. Yeah. At that point, we get off the floor. You know, in other words, the potential of Mashiach is there. You ask, but it hasn't come for the last 2,000 years. Okay, we haven't manifest that potential, but we know that the Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. That ability to bring back the relationship is born on Tisha B'Av. But that only can happen when the relationship really matters to us. And to the degree that we can express that. So we're going through the motions trying to describe what we should be feeling and how the feelings should be moving and changing and shifting, etc., etc. The day that our feelings will be in touch with what the motion, if our emotions are in touch with our motions, then we'd be okay. And that's what the tzaddik is telling us over here. So Bilam lahavinasa. Bilam didn't understand this. He couldn't understand all this emotional connection that God has for us and we have for God, because he was a cold, calculating, logical being. Okay, very scientific minded person without any emotion. Hu hayi yavani muvak. He was an expert Greek, as it were. He wanted to penetrate deeper and deeper to the ultimate source of reality. Because he figured that in the real, real depths, when you get to the core of God, that connection between God and Jewish people ceases. And Hashem will get angry at us. But Hashem did not get angry those entire days. As it were, what was God saying during the parsha of Bilam? What was God saying? My relationship and my care and concern for the Jews is deepest beyond any limitations. So Kesher Shalava, that's a connection of love. Love, you know, there is no end to love. Love, remember, love is ava, which is bonding, which is unifying with another being. When you're unified with another being, you can't, there's no end to that unity. And that's a connection that comes from love, not from entertainment, It's not an ava hatluya bedover. It's not a love that depends on something, and when the thing ends, the love ends. This is a love that was initiated by God that doesn't depend on anything. This is our work during these 3 weeks. Liknos ashashayachos hamiti shalonim Hashem Yisparach is to acquire this true connection that we have with Hashem. That's what we're supposed to do during these 3 weeks. And Parshas Balak is showing you, see how much God loves us. So where's our love fitting in relationship to that? Next page, Ben Beis. Hakesher shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu inyan nichbad biyoser. This connection between Hashem and us is a very, very special one. Yesh nekudah nosefes sheyamim elu melamdim osanu. There's another point that these days teach us. This point is also connected with this concept of the connection that Hashem has with the Jewish people. On these days, we remember, we evoke the memory of all the tzaras, all the tribulations that happened to the Jewish people through all the generations. Churban Abayis, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Churban Beitar, the destruction of Beitar during the revolution after the Second Temple was destroyed. As Kolot Verma Neroim Shekarusham, all the awesome things that happened during this 3 week period of time. Vchalosim Tvarim Neroim, they're all awesome things. Boim Lum Moda Sonu Davarnasa, they're coming to teach us one other thing. What is that other thing? A Gemara Maseches Brachas, let's take a look at the Gemara Maseches Brachas for a minute. It tells us the following. Imeres legabi misha koreh shma v'choyzev v'koreh shazeh davar maguna. What if a person says shma twice in a row? Shma Yisrael Hashem Kem Hashem Echad. Shma Yisrael Hashem Kem Hashem Echad. You think that's a frum thing to do or not a frum thing to do?
Not a frum thing.
Well, I love Hashem, I'm going to say it twice. Oh. So he says the davar maguna, it's a disgusting thing. You shouldn't do it. So and the reason is because, you know, if God is one, you only need to say it once. You don't say it twice. I mean, is it two gods you're talking to? I mean, it's not a logical thing to do. So Shlomo Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe there's a good reason why he said it twice. V'shem Elokivin es daito. Maybe the first time he said it, he wasn't thinking. And we know you have to be able to think of what you're saying, and if you don't think about it, you're not yaitzi the Shema. So you know what? Maybe the first time he wasn't thinking, and now you know he says Shema, says, and then he says, "Oh, I was saying the Shema. Oh, I wasn't even thinking. Okay, I better say it again." So maybe that let's judge him favorably. So Tamar Kacha Gemara. So Gemara responds to that possibility in a very surprising way. And Gemara says, "Chavrusa klape Shmaya miika." Is there a buddy system over with God? In other words, you know, yeah, you know, when your wife calls and you're busy with something else, you may be going, yes, dear, yes, or you're not paying attention. You know, with other people, sometimes you're not paying attention. Sometimes you say things, you're not even thinking of what you're saying. You know, because, you know, it's my buddy. Big deal. You know, if I don't pay attention, it's not the end of the world. You know, so is God your buddy? That, you know, talking to God, big deal. You know, I could be doing three things at the same time while I'm talking to God. Yeah, you know, now that we're, you know, we have phones and we have our, you know, you have your phones with that you can text message. So you got people talking on the phone and they're text messaging to somebody else while they're talking on the phone to other people. How much attention are you paying to those people? So I can do the same thing with God. You know, I'm davening. So while I'm davening, I mean, it's a good time. I'm going to spend 45, I'm going to spend an hour now.
Yeah, hour.
Okay, it's a good thing for me to think about all my business plans today while I'm talking to God. Right? Okay, Shema Yisrael Shema goes, what? You know, I think, oh, you know, I really was thinking about Shema. Let me say it again. So I said, what is this? Is there a buddy system with God? So Gemara says, he lo kimen died to make kar. If the guy can't think about Hashem to the beginning, machkin lebe marzaf to the nafka, you smash him with a blacksmith's hammer. Ad the machaven died until he starts thinking. In other words, you know, like these I Love Lucy's, you know, where she says to Ricky, oh Ricky, you know, how was she? Ricky, I did this, and he goes, and he has the paper as he's eating it. Yes, dear, that's fine, that's great. Ricky, and I also took a little Ricky to this. Yes, dear, that's fine, that's great. And Ricky, I slept with the mailman today. That's good, that's fine. You know, it's like In those days, they didn't say it. They said other things, right? You know, but what's she supposed to do? Smash him on the head. Wake up, you idiot. Pay attention to what's going on. And we're saying, you know, you don't just say Shema again. Smash the guy on the head. No such thing as not paying attention. So that's what Gemara says. So what's the lesson over there? What's we're trying to tell us? So Chazal Madgishim, the rabbis are emphasizing that Shema and talking to God isn't something of mabakach. Like, what's the difference? You know, okay, it's you know, nish, more kavana, less kavana, big deal. If I don't get it right the first time, I'll do it the second time. It's not that way, you know. When you go out on a date, first date, you know, the first date's really important. You say something boneheaded on the first date, they're going to want to see you on the next date. Oh. You know, you got to be careful. You know, I don't have to be so careful. You got to be awfully careful. You're talking to God. It's not just, you know, big deal, what do I care? You know, how's it possible a guy doesn't have any kavodah when he's dominating? If he was frightened, like in awe, im yamidu im patish arosh, what would they do if they put a hammer to his head? Right? Could he fall asleep? If every time he fell asleep, he got smashed in the head, so would you fall asleep? Tefillah yidavar ritzina b'yosir, davening serious business. As Rav Chaim Voloshin talks about the glory and the awesomeness of prayer, the awesome capability of prayer. You can't sleep in the middle of davening. Ooh. If you knew what davening really was, could you fall asleep during davening?
No way.
Could you fall asleep even? I can't take any questions because I'm running out of time. I'm going to have to leave it for tomorrow. Right? Zelo Dibrim Chaver, it ain't talking to your buddy. Zemadvarm Shomdi Miruma Shalom, these are the things, this davening, the whole world depends on davening. If you really understood that everything depends on davening, our davening would be totally different. Segam HaMesser HaOyla Mishlosh Shavuos, there's also an important lesson of the 3 weeks. HaTorah Hilo Dover Shalma Bekach, the Torah is not something of, you know, it's nice. It's a cute thing, but not that important. It's a cultural thing that it's a nice thing to know. I'd like my children to know a little bit of Torah. It's a good thing to know. I mean, he's going to grow up, he's going to be a doctor, but it's nice that, you know, he could also know how to say a Haftorah. It's a nice thing to know the Haftorah.
Apple pie, motherhood.
It's a nice thing. It's a feather in our cap that we're also Jewish. And we have a good Jewish heritage. And if you know, but if the business is so important and we can't study any Torah and we can't daven, it's mabakach, no big deal. It's a nice thing to have if you get to have it, if you can. So Torah isn't like that. Kesha Am Yisrael Hashem La Torah, because if we don't keep what it says in the Torah, Niachur ben Noira B'Yosef will be the worst destructions. This is not just a cute, nice little extra thing. Kesha Nilkata Beitar, when the decrees come out and Beitar gets captured, oh, that's a cute little thing that we lost Beitar. It's not like you lose a baseball game. Okay, the Blue Jays lost in the ninth inning, so we lost Beitar and 10 million people were killed. Big deal. Right? Beitar nergubo anoshim noshim v'tafat shaholch domen v'nofal yam agadol. There was so much blood that was shed in Beitar that the blood flowed all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. In other words, Judaism is a serious business. And that's another point that we really don't appreciate. And we'll continue with this point tomorrow. And I'll have time tomorrow to take your question. Okay, tomorrow we'll be able to finish the shmooze and to entertain questions. And he'll develop this last point of how we're supposed to feel, how serious the Jewish business is during the 3 weeks. Mirtz Hashem.